This podcast is brought to you by Mass Corruption, Volume 1, The Cops. Autographed by Howie Carr himself, not an auto pen. Get your copy now at HowieCarrShow.com and click on Store. Limited supply.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
What the French call... Les incompetents.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at GraceCurlyShow.com.
Guys, I'm eating junk and watching rubbish. You better come out and stop me.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of The Grace Curley Show.
Grace Curley.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Welcome, 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 and Merry Christmas to all of you. Just a few more days until the big one, the big holiday, and we are celebrating early here at the Grace Curley Show. We've got the new festive backdrop if you're watching on Rumble and Taylor's amazing introduction. I hope you all had a great weekend. We have a lot to jump into here. I think I want to start today with the latest batch of the Epstein files. They were released by the Justice Department. Thousands of pages of documents and photos, and more to come. We're going to get more of these batches, and the weird thing about this is, and I do take it very seriously, there's a lot of victims involved here, and the fact that this guy was able to get away with what he was able to get away with for so long because of his money and his influence and his connections is disgusting to me. But I will tell you this, I don't think anyone is ever going to be satisfied, no matter how many files are released. Because there are redactions, there are people whose faces are redacted, there are redactions in these emails and these documents, and the reason behind it, which could very well be legitimate in most cases, is that we don't want to publicize or, you know, put out people's names who are victims who don't want their names out there. We want to protect these people who have come forward against Jeffrey Epstein or Ghislaine Maxwell in the past. But because of those redactions, there's always the opportunity for people to say, well, you're not telling us the full truth because all of that was redacted. And the redactions are what could crack this thing wide open and could reveal all of the people involved, and you're just protecting them. So the DOJ, Todd Blanche, has done a good job. They're coming out and they're trying to assure people that, hey, we are doing this in the most transparent way we possibly can. I don't think there's an argument that they've been the most transparent administration on Jeffrey Epstein so far. Now, guaranteed the bar is in hell because no one else was revealing anything. Joe Biden was in there for 4 years and didn't have anything to say about Jeffrey Epstein. But I understand people's skepticism involving this whole thing when it comes to how much of the truth we're actually ever going to get. Where it bothers me, Taylor, is it becomes this political talking point, and they can use it forever. They can say, well, yeah, they didn't get Trump in the Epstein files because they didn't show the whole thing. And it's like, well, you're never going to be sad. You didn't care for 4 years when it was Biden. Now you're never going to be satisfied no matter how much you get. You could get every single email, every single paper. But because it's not showing you what you want it to show you, because it's not giving you the answer you wanted, which isn't a shock to me, because if it had the answer they wanted, if Trump was really implicated, if Trump was, you know, if they were able to get Trump with anything in these files, it would have been released not just 4 years of Joe Biden, but it would have been released 10 years ago when he started this whole thing. I don't think they would have been able to sit on it for 2 seconds. And so, of course,
yeah, you still had so many snakes and swamp creatures in the deep state during Trump's first administration. They would have done anything to take him out.
And we've had this conversation where sometimes callers will weigh in and they'll say, and I understand how you could get to this. You could get to this logic where you go, well, they were implicated in it, too. So that's why they didn't release it when Joe Biden was president. They do not have that kind of self-control. They do not have the ability, these Democrats. TDS does this thing. It, like, blinds people. So no one's able to see past the immediate. No one's able to see. They don't have the perspective of going, oh, well, this could harm, you know, my colleagues in a year or two. They don't care. The goal is to get Trump. And so they wouldn't have cared if Joe Biden or anyone else in the Democrat Party was going to be hurt by any of this, they would have released it. And so I think we're, no matter how much is released over the next coming weeks, and because of the thing that was the law that was passed, it is all going to be released, hopefully. I don't think you're ever going to find that. And you could argue on both sides. I don't think either side is going to be satisfied with the information we get. With that being said, the latest batch has a lot of Bill Clinton. A lot of former President Bill Clinton. And I talked on Friday how he was seen at this Moroccan wedding with his daughter and Ghislaine and Jeffrey Epstein. These three, Bill Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell, they were like the three best friends that anyone could ever have. They were...
I thought your mother was a cat's meow.
They were hanging out together a lot. You have to be pretty good friends if you're trying to get a plus two to a wedding. If you're calling up the Moroccan royalty and saying, hey, I know this wedding is going to be the cat's meow, and I got two people who I think is going to add a lot to the party. I got two party animals that are going to light up the room. You got to be on pretty close terms, bosom buddies. Probably not the best way to put it. But some of the photos, one of them, he's in a swimming pool. Okay, big. He's giving big creep energy. He's in a swimming pool with the sex traffickers, Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
We're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone can have.
You know how when you're a kid, sometimes they'll give you like a flat Stanley. Did you ever have a flat Stanley, Taylor?
No.
Well, they do different versions of it. But I remember when I was younger, my sister got a flat Stanley from school. And you get this like cardboard whatever, and you gotta, wherever you go that weekend, you gotta take pictures with it. And then you come into your class and you say, flat Stanley went here, flat Stanley went there.
Oh, this is like a replacement of the baby flower thing?
No. It's more just, it's the traveling thing. So the classroom sees, oh, flat Stanley. So when my sister got flat Stanley, we happened to be on vacation. We were like in Dominican Republic or something. So flat Stanley, we felt pretty cool. My sister's like, flat Stanley's going to Dominican.
What kind of body shaming Stanley, aren't we?
Going to DR, baby. Bill Clinton in these photos reminds me of flat Stanley. It's like anywhere in the world, he is in these photos with these two people. It's like, oh, flat Bill is in a pool. Oh, he's at a Moroccan wedding. He's like Carmen Sandiego. Where in the world is Bill Clinton? I don't know where he is, but he's probably with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. They all seemed pretty tight. In one of the pictures, he's in a hot tub, and the young woman, her face is redacted. And unlike, because you remember a couple weeks ago, this whole story ended up being completely washed away because of a few different things. The Brown University shooter, Rob Reiner and his wife's murder by their son, Nick. Trump's tweet about that murder. And so this story about the Hawaiian Tropic models was kind of put on the back burner, but it was pretty outrageous what happened. Trump was pictured. The Democrats, the House Democrats, released this photo. They're cherry-picking all these photos, which Trump knew they were going to do. And they found a photo of Trump with these models, adult Hawaiian Tropic models. And they redacted the faces of the models to make it seem like these were victims of Jeffrey Epstein that Trump was posing with. And then the New York Post came out and said, we've already had this photo. These are fully adult-grown women who are posing with current President Donald Trump from, you know, decades ago. In this photo of Bill Clinton in a hot tub with this young girl, her face is redacted. And I think it's pretty safe to assume the DOJ is doing that because she is either a minor or a victim of Jeffrey Epstein, or maybe both. And I don't see the same kind of outrage as that fake news story about Trump. But the outrage is getting there because I think Bill Clinton has been able, up until this point, to not respond to this, to just kind of push it aside. And he hasn't been required to, because it's kind of like what the market allows. And for Bill Clinton, the market, these social circles, they allowed this behavior. And they allowed him to kind of just not have to own up to it or not deal with any sort of consequences. And now his camp is speaking out about this. Not him. You know, he's not coming on TV and talking about it. He's not like Larry Summers saying, you know, I'm going to take some time off from teaching, or you're not going to see me for a while. But his camp is coming out, and they are responding. And before I explain their response, Taylor, you had something to say. Oh, you looked like you did. Your eyes lit up.
Oh, it's gone now.
It's gone.
I'm sorry.
That's how quickly it was there. Now it's gone.
Fleeting thoughts.
So his camp comes out. And have you seen the response, Taylor, from the Clinton people?
I have not.
Do you care to guess which route? Because you know when these scandals break, there's always like a different, there's a few different roads you can go.
This is going to be something of, this is a desperate attempt by the Trump administration to besmirch the Clintons. There's been no accusations.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He's a scapegoat.
Yeah.
I've been scapegoated. This is a popular excuse or popular like alibi from people is, oh, I'm just being used as a scapegoat. This is just a distraction. And there are times where someone's a scapegoat. There are other times where you're just the goat. You are just the goat in this situation. You are, the goat is in the pool. The goat is in the hot tub. The goat is at the Moroccan wedding. There is no blaming anyone else for this when you have pictures on the plane and on the train and on in the car and at the, all these different places. You're swimming with these people, you're in a pool with them, and you're trying to tell me that your only response is that you're the victim? That big old creep, former president, one of the most privileged, you know, all I hear about is white privilege, all this white privilege. This is one of the most privileged people ever. He hasn't even had to own up to any of this. He was made out, or in his mind, I think he was the victim of that whole Monica Lewinsky thing, too. I think that's how twisted these people are. Where he's like, it was so unfair what happened to me. Like they're not Monica Lewinsky, you know, ruined her life, and she's, you know, made out okay, and I know she's very left, and now she's I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, but, you know, in all honesty, they did a lot of damage to that girl. She was young, and he, the power imbalance was stark. And again, didn't really have to deal with the repercussions. You could argue, yeah, well, his political career, but he was welcomed back with all those beautiful people. He made tons of money. His wife ended up running for president. They were both on stage looking at the big balloons. Oh, look at the balloons. How wonderful. And he constantly gets away with everything. And no one has an issue with it because when it's white privilege, but it's Democrat white privilege, no one cares. And I think it's high time that this guy should have to sit down and talk about what he knows. And if all these Democrats who claim to care about these victims, and I don't believe any of them, because they didn't care about them for 4 years, and now all of a sudden they're, you know, they're out there every day on the steps of Capitol Hill pretending to care about these people. If you don't demand answers from Bill Clinton, then you don't care. Because he seems like he would know a lot of things based off the photos.
Yeah, he's in that orbit for however many years, and how long was this all going on for? We don't know. This is starting to remind me a lot of Bill Cosby. Like, there have been stories and rumors, but nothing ever substantiated, and finally somebody steps forward and breaks open this investigation into Cosby and his alleged misdeeds, and he gets put on trial and convicted. But, you know, there's still a faction of people that are Bill Cosby devotees, and they love him, and he can do no wrong in their eyes.
Are there still now?
I think so, yeah. And there may be the same people if anything ever comes to fruition about Bill Clinton.
There are still diehard Cosby people. That was the craziest thing. I've talked about this a few times. When Bill Cosby was released from prison, and I was in here, and I'm watching it on the screen, and they show him, like, pulling up to his mansion or something, or driving by his house, and there are already people on both sides of the street, anti-Bill, pro-Bill Cosby, with poster boards. And that's when I really started to realize, Taylor, that we have a poster board problem in this country. Too many people have too much availability to be writing on posters and then holding them up.
People are just planning for every eventuality. They have a filing system at home. It's like this giant pull-out drawer of 8x12-inch poster cards.
It's like Bill Cosby, Free Britney, and they just pull them out as they go. When we come back, though, I want to come back to what you're saying here about Bill Clinton, because how long this was going on. There's now reports, and because of some of these files that are coming out, we are getting a few answers here, that Jeffrey Epstein, the depths of his depravity, a lot of it was known in 1996 when Bill Clinton was president. I'm going to dive into this a little bit when we come back. It's 844-500-4242. A lot of news today, though. Lee Stefanik no longer running for governor. J.D. Vance at AmFest with an incredible speech last night. And a meltdown at CBS News over the new head of CBS, Barry Weiss, not wanting to promote fake news. The nerve of this woman. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
Regarding Bill Clinton, I'm sorry to tell you, the reason that Bill Clinton's picture is in the Epstein files is because this has always been a story about Bill Clinton and not Donald Trump. We should call it the Clinton files, not the Epstein files. That's what we're learning tonight. This is the Clinton files. This is the blowing up in the face of the Democrats over this. It's Bill Clinton. This is a story about Democrats and Bill Clinton. And it's always been that.
Presidential privilege is what 617 said. Another text from 617 says, I noticed the Cosby Show is back on cable. Is that true? I used to love the Cosby Show. I used to watch that all the time.
I'll say it. It's not funny anymore. It still holds humor. Still well written. Still well acted.
Yeah. Well, this is
kind of just that the guy that was the center of the show is a monster.
Yeah, and this is kind of a problem we're running into a lot now, where there are, you know, pieces of art, whether it be music, you know, think R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, where there's this question of should you still listen to it if the person is a bad person. And I kind of think you separate the art from the artist at that point. Like, we didn't know while they were making it, in most cases, that they were terrible people. So it's like, what are you supposed to do?
I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, you're biased. You were writing letters to Bill Cosby, so.
I told you that in confidence.
Was that so? I'm sorry, was that off record?
That was off record.
Really?
That was off mic. Yes.
I'm sorry. Am I going to get in trouble?
You saw Cosby in person just as I did.
I know I did. I did. But we
got
didn't
his
know,
autograph.
Taylor. We didn't know.
We did not know. We were just fans. We grew up with the guy who was America's dad.
Yeah. The story took a weird, weird turn.
We knew America had daddy issues.
Now, here's the story I was just thinking of. The sister of an Epstein victim reported him in 1996. But the FBI in 1996 failed to investigate. In 1996, anyone care to guess who was president in 1996? I'll give you a hint. Jeffrey Epstein's swimming buddy, his hot tub friend, Ghislaine Maxwell's wedding bud. The three best friends that anyone could ever have. So while Donald Trump's, you know, this is The Guardian, they're talking about this artist, Maria Farmer, and her sister Annie was abused by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, says Epstein stole nude images. And I was listening to the Morning Wire today, and they talked about this as well. They said Maria Farmer, there was a 1996 complaint from her that alleges that Epstein possessed and distributed child pornography involving her underage sisters. And then there's also more detailed victim testimonies describing recruitment and abuse that was facilitated by Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, I have plenty of reasons to believe that if this was reported in 1996 and the FBI knows that the head of the White House, I don't even know in that situation, Taylor, if he had to say to them, like, don't look into this. If they're watching him swim in the guy's pool constantly, they're probably like, yeah, he's probably not going to want us to dive too deep into this. You'd like to think it doesn't operate like that, but I kind of think it does in a lot of cases.
When was the Lewinsky thing?
Well, this is his second. This is his second term. So yeah, this was before the Lewinsky stuff.
Okay. Well, they knew what they had coming.
Yes. Yes, indeed. We'll take your calls on this. It's 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
I thought your mother was a cat's meow.
Live Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Besides, Mrs. Flynn asked us not to let you into any more fast food places.
Well, I just want to mingle with the American people, talk with some real folks, maybe get a Diet Coke or something.
Fine. But please, don't tell Mrs. Clinton.
Jim, let me tell you something. There's going to be a whole bunch of things we don't tell Mrs. Clinton.
Yeah, SNL, back in the day when it used to be funny. I actually saw some clips of the most recent episode of SNL, and hoo boy, it has fallen, my friend. There was nothing funny about it. But it's true, and Bill Clinton was so involved with these people. I don't care what anybody says. And you know, they can claim, like, and they do this thing to where they go, well, we're not suggesting that he's accused of any sort of sexual misconduct. And yet, and I have to say that too, because this is how it works. But the level of intimacy that it seems he had with these two is, I think, a step above anybody else who's entangled in this.
It seems so. Nobody else seems closer. Nobody else seems that knowledgeable.
Like, unless he was just a really big pool fan, and he would go to people's houses and all the time be like, I'm jumping in the pool.
Can I try your hot tub myself. And you can take my picture?
I can't help myself. I got to get in that pool. You know, he's just here for the zip line type of thing. Maybe.
You know how it is in Arkansas. We just jump into everything.
But something that's tricky with these photo sellers, there's no confirmed dates on a lot of them. So it's hard to tell because, like I said, this woman, Maria Farmer, and I knew the story sounded familiar to me, and it's because when everything blew up with Jeffrey Epstein, and it was years after he served time, using that loosely, because I think he just got to, like, walk around his mansion in Palm Beach in Florida, that movie came out on Netflix, Filthy Rich, and they documented this. They actually had the victim in the movie and the sister, Maria Farmer, who went to the FBI in 1996 and said, hey, I'm accusing him of child pornography. I think he stole these nude images. And they didn't do anything about it. 1996, President Bill Clinton, who's very good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. But the reason I say that is I'd like to know when these pictures were taken. Like, because if that pool picture is 1996, there are people out there who are more familiar with Bill Clinton who are alive during that time who might be able to look at these photos and tell if it's like an older or younger Bill Clinton. I'm not the person to do that, but I definitely think this is an issue for him. And here's what he has.
Does it really matter, though, if he was president at the time? I mean, what does it matter?
What do you mean?
Like, does it matter when these pictures were taken?
It matters in this case because if this woman, Maria Farmer, went to the FBI and said, my sister is in these photos, I'm accusing Jeffrey Epstein of child pornography, and the president at the time is Bill Clinton, who's hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, and that's the reason they don't investigate that, then I think that matters.
Okay, yeah.
But I thought
But even before then, he was governor, and after that, he was
a former president.
Former president.
You're right.
So.
And part of what I thought you were going to say there when you said doesn't even matter is, does it matter for him now? And I'm not saying that flippantly. I'm just saying he's not I don't see a world in which he's going to jail for anything, and there's nothing right now that would warrant that. But my question is, like, you could say, well, he's going to be persona non grata, but I don't think that matters either. I don't think he's doing that much. I don't think he does that much stuff. He tried to campaign was it Kamala Harris or Bill Clinton or Joe Biden? And he, every time he opened his mouth, he made things worse. He wasn't fully aware, I don't think, of the fact that everyone has cell phones. So everything he was saying, like, he was kind of operating like it was 1996, and he could just say, well, you know, the thing about Kamala Harris is blah, blah, blah. And he would just say something crazy, and people would film it, and then it would go viral, and he would have to backtrack. So he was not able to campaign in the modern times. He was a politician from another time for a multitude of reasons. But I don't think that even if you say, well, now he's persona non grata, I don't think that's going to matter either. I kind of think he's cool now with just squirreling away and staying out of the spotlight. Hillary Clinton, it might be more of an issue for, because she never seems to want to shut her mouth. That could be, by the way, a silver line. This whole thing is awful. I'm not trying to say there's any silver lining to this. But if there is one thing taken out of this, maybe Hillary Clinton, she didn't feel like there was enough shame in the fact that she was a major hypocrite. And she claimed that Russia stole the election, even though all that's been proven false. And the entire Russia collusion hoax was actually orchestrated and paid for by Hillary Clinton. But that wasn't enough to keep her quiet. That wasn't enough. She didn't feel any shame from that, Taylor. She didn't feel as though she, you know, was such a hypocrite that she could come out constantly and talk about Trump and how she was robbed and blah, 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 blah. There was no amount of proof, receipts, timelines that would shut this woman up. But maybe now that she knows that every time she sits down for one of those, what do they even do? They have the big step and repeat, and they sit down in their leather chairs, and they sit, and there's someone from like Meta who interviews her and says, Hillary, tell us about what you think right now about foreign policy. What's your read on Trump's relations in the Middle East? Blah, blah, blah. And she talks about it. She probably gets paid a ton of money. And then she sits down, and she inevitably goes into a 45-minute diatribe about how she should have been president.
Bongo, it's her. It's that devil woman.
And everything's unfair. Everything's so sad for Hillary, and she was robbed, and blah, blah, blah. They're perpetual victims, these Clintons. The people.
She's the serpent who guards the gates of hell.
There's a lot of people in Haiti who would say they're not the victims in any situation. There's a lot of Epstein. There's a lot of young people who I don't think would say they're the victims. Monica Lewinsky certainly wouldn't say they're the victims.
And saying, look at me, listen to me.
And yet in their minds, whether it's Bill with Jeffrey Epstein or Hillary Clinton, you know, setting up this whole Russia collusion hoax to undermine a duly elected president because she was so sad and upset and such a sore loser that she couldn't get over it. So that was her only that was her only means of getting by. It was, okay, we'll just orchestrate this entire thing. But in their minds, they are always the victims. Woe is me. I was robbed. It should have been me. I was set up. I'm the scapegoat. You name it. And so maybe this Bill Clinton thing will finally get that devil woman to shut the hell up and stop talking to us about 2016. We can't take it anymore, okay? We cannot take it anymore. So that would be one positive thing, is if she goes away. But who knows? Like, maybe she'll feel like...
I think the Democrat Party has moved on from all of these people as far as platforming them in a big way and making them spokespeople for their entire party. Biden's definitely gone. Al Gore's not making those kinds of speeches. I don't think he was very relevant to begin with. Barack Obama is pretty much persona non grata. They don't want him around anymore. He's not left tilt enough. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they're used goods at this point. They're too embroiled in this scandal and many others. And Hillary's just, she's trouble everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
And again, they're not left enough. The party has moved on to people like Zoran Memdani. That's who they're looking for as spokespeople. That's who they're looking to as leaders.
Yeah, and he called up Zoran Memdani and said, you know, I'd be happy to help you. Or
if I could just pronounce your name.
Oh, no, Barack.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Not Bill. Oh, God.
Do people even like cats? I don't know.
Imagine getting that call, you're Zoran Memdani. You're like, who is this?
It's me. It's Bubba. I got some words of wisdom for you.
You got a hot tub I can jump into?
You know who he probably was friends with? I'm going to move on from this. I'm just going to move on from this topic completely. One of the texters, though, just wrote in to me and said, it just proves these people aren't out for justice for the victims. They're only out to screw Trump. Yeah, and I don't want that to get lost here, because if we're ever making fun of this, it's not because of the victims. It's not because we don't see how serious this is. I think Jeffrey Epstein is one of the a monster. He's a monster. I've watched the documentaries. I understand that this was a bad guy. It's rich to hear from all these hypocrites who had no issue with him and were hanging out with him. I'm like, I feel like saying to Katie Couric, don't lecture me. I wasn't at a party with him. Lecture your friends. Why don't you call up all your friends, all your rich friends, as Michael Scott would say, and why don't you give them a few lectures and ask them some questions and stop turning the camera towards the regular people who have nothing to do with these freaks?
Well, it's like last week, we're talking about a serious issue like the Brown University shooting. And, you know, we had some fun with that because we were talking about the incompetent people that were standing there.
Right.
And we're having a few laughs at their expense because they're the ones that are ultimately culpable and are fumbling and bumbling around, and they have no idea what they're doing. And we're not trying to make anything light of a situation, but, you know, a lot of times you have to look at kind of the lighter side of things anyway in order to get a point across.
Yes, yes, yes. I 100% agree with you. And I want to say one more thing about the Democrats while we're on the subject, because then we have to move on to the conservatives. We got a lot of stuff to sort out on our own side, as AmFest proved, Taylor. AmFest ended up becoming like a battle of all these podcasters just getting up one after the other. Luckily, I thought by the end of AmFest, they saved the best for last. They saved Nicki Minaj, who did a great job. I don't get super hyped up now about celebrities, though, when they come to the conservative side, only because they might go crazy, and then it's like, ugh, you were so excited. They
came if only we had an example to point to.
One of my favorite artists.
Kanye?
Kanye, yeah. Yeah, you look at Kanye, you're like, wow, he's coming to our side. And then you're like, I don't even know where
putting
he is.
Putting out a gospel album, all right.
Yeah, we're liking it. So now what I do is I just go, whatever, like, good. If you have a good point to make, I'll like your good point, but I'm not getting on board with everything you've ever said.
I know you're trying to be shocking, but that's... I'm not trying to be shocking. I like Hitler. I do not. The Holocaust is not what happened. Let's look at the facts of that.
Yeah. So needless to say, when celebrities jump on board, I'm like, welcome. You're more than welcome to join forces with us. You're more than welcome to join the club. But I'm not going to sit here and say, see how wonderful it is? This celebrity thinks we're right. I don't really
care. I guess we'll never know.
I don't really care. But I will say, she did a great job. She did a great job at AmFest. And
Nicki?
Yeah.
What is she famous? What was her big song?
Oh my gosh, you were such a grandpa. What was her big hit?
Did she do Anaconda? Was that was her?
Yeah. And also, you know, boom, 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 boom. This one is for the boys. And I don't know if there's any bad words in it, so I don't want to start rapping it.
No, I don't know that one.
I can't think of how it goes. She's got a lot of big songs, though. Mm. She's very, very popular. Anyway, so she was on there, and I thought J.D. Vance did a great job of kind of ending it on a good note. Because prior to that, Taylor, it was a lot of beef. It was a lot of beef, which I'm not used to at those kind of things. One person coming out, releasing a diss track, and the other person coming out and, you know, kind of pushing back. Kind of messy. So we're going to talk about that. But I want to say one more thing about the Democrats, because there's a report out, and I believe it was first talked about in the Washington Examiner, about how Ken Martin, you always hear about how after an election, you get an autopsy of where you went wrong, a postmortem. It says, you know, you guys focused too much on this. You didn't focus enough on that. If there was ever the need for an autopsy for Democrats, it would have been in 2024, when they spent most of the election cycle claiming Joe Biden was sharp as a tack, and then what little remained of it trying to prop up Kamala Harris as someone who could also put together a sentence. Neither of these two people could. And it all just was a disaster. And I think what is so, I don't know if the word would be ironic or poetic or fitting, is that the takeaway is that in 2024, the Democrats tried to gaslight people and not tell them the truth. And there was a massive lack of transparency and honesty. And they were not forthcoming about what we were dealing with Joe Biden. They were lying about everything. And the response from the head of the DNC, Ken Martin, when he gets this report, is to bury it. That's amazing to me. Oh, so here we have this report that's telling us everyone really didn't like how we were lying to them. Let's cover up the report and not show anyone it. It encapsulates everything that's wrong with the Democrats.
How's an old guy do that?
They cannot be honest even with themselves. When we come back, we are going to talk about J.D. Vance's speech, which I really liked. We'll play a little bit of Nicki Minaj. And a lot of people are texting in about Elise Stefanik. I'll be honest with you guys, I was shocked by this over the weekend. I don't know if this was something that was in the works for a while, and maybe I'm just out of the loop, Taylor, which that's been known to happen as well lately. But I didn't see this coming. I thought she was so all in on this. I thought that she was gearing up as far as this race, this gubernatorial race in New York. I thought she was really gearing up to give Kathy Hochul a run for her money. And I guess what ended up happening was she wasn't really getting an endorsement from Trump. He said he wasn't going to come out and endorse her. And she thought the primary was going to get too messy. And so she's backing out of that. She's not going to stay in Congress.
Do they have somebody to replace her with?
In Congress or in...
In the governor's race, a Republican.
Well, the other Republican, and we can get into the details of this, but the other Republican, Bruce Blakeman, is a Trump guy.
I like that name. That's a good, strong name. Bruce Blakeman.
Yeah, so he came out and he said he was going to run. And I guess Trump did call him. And the reports I read is that Trump didn't outright say, step aside for Elise Stefanik, but he was open about his concerns about these two Republicans that he liked facing off and how, you know, there could be unforced errors in, or there could be unnecessary damage done to either of them if this primary got messy. But where I'm confused, and I think some of the texters are confused, is I've never heard of this guy, Bruce Blakeman, and he might be a great guy. I'm not disparaging him. But I know Elise Stefanik. I thought Elise Stefanik was a real fighter and she had a big political future. So I'm just surprised that he didn't come out right away and say, she's the one, she's running. And that might speak to issues that the two of them have, which I have read about before, that, you know, he doesn't approve of every single thing she's ever done. But it's like, to Trump, yeah, dude, you don't approve. You don't agree with anything that anyone's ever done. So why didn't you back her? She seems like our best bet. I don't know. I don't think Bruce Blakeman has a shot against Kathy Hochul. I think Kathy Hochul got this news over the weekend and was probably celebrating it. Maybe other people out there have some insight into what happened here. 844-500-4242. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
This one is for the boys with the booming system. Top town AC with the coolest system. When he come up in the club, he be blazing up. Got stacks on deck like he's saving up. And he ill, he real, he might got a deal. He pop bottles and he got the right kind of bill. He cold, he dope, he might sell coke. He always in the air, but he never fly couch. He a motherfucker, trip, sell a auto ship.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj. That was a moment, Taylor, when that song came out.
2010.
Oh, how old were you? 2010, I was a senior in high school. Everyone out there was learning the lyrics to that song. That was Nicki Minaj. She was at AmFest with Erica Kirk. A very warm reception from the crowd. But I think the person, and Taylor, we haven't even done the poll question today in this hour. Today's poll question is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. Shop now at Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. Body options include dump bodies and service bodies. Tux Trucks GMC is your commercial truck headquarters. That's TuxTrucksGMC.com. This goes with our poll question today. It's all about AmFest, which I think wrapped up last night. What's the PQ, Taylor?
Who had the best speech at Turning Point USA's AmFest? Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, J.D. Vance, Nicki Minaj, Megyn Kelly, or other?
I liked Ben Shapiro's. I like that he called out Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson for kind of egging on, or in some cases, really supporting this anti-Semitism that's kind of taken over the far right. And I like Nicki Minaj. I thought she did a great job as well, but I think the clear winner here for me was J.D. Vance.
58% say J.D.
Future President J.D. Vance. And Erica Kirk seems on board with that as well. She said he gets her full support. We'll talk more about this. We'll play some sound. Oh, and special guest at AmFest, Jeannie Beeman. Don't go anywhere.